Okay, we're holding here in Simen Resh, Din Hamafsi Kedei Levarech. And the Chavir tells us that if three people are eating together, Shlosh Shachol Gechad, Echem Mafsik Korach Kol Deshtayim. So the majority rules. If two people want to leave, the third fellow has an obligation to stop and to answer. He doesn't have to bench. He can continue eating, but he has an obligation to stop and answer. Interesting halacha that even if he refuses, they can still do the zimun. He's gonna not answer. They still fulfilled their mitzvah. He didn't if he doesn't answer, but the majority rules to the extent that if he refuses, they're allowed to continue and do the zimun as long as he's there. Kol shu omicha. Aval shnayim ein chayavin lahafsik leechad. The opposite is not true. Again, the majority rules. If one person wants to leave, the two don't need to answer. Again, if it's your father, if it's your Rebbe, there's a chiyuv kavod. It's a nice thing to do either way, but I'm saying it could be there be a chiyuv mitzad kavod or just mitzad derech eretz, but fundamentally, the minority can't force the majority to do the zimun. Look, in chiyuv zimun chal ad sheyiratzu lahafsik le'echad ulevarech. The chiyuv starts. If they agree to do it, then they'll do it. There'll be a chiyuv zimun. If one guy says, "I don't care, I'm going to do the zimun," and the two people are just keep on eating, they're not answering, then it's meaningless. And this one individual is stuck there. He's really has to wait. He's a chiyuv zimun. He started eating together with them, so even though he wants to leave, his obligation, if they're not willing to, again, the right thing to do is for them to answer. If they're not willing to, he is not allowed to leave. Until they finish eating and they do a zimun. He has a chi of zimun, it's unfulfilled, he can't just leave. Now, this halakha applies equally to a zimun of shame. If there are six fellows who want to do a zimun and four who don't, so the six can force the four to do the zimun. And conversely, if there are four who want to leave, they can't force the ten, the other six, to do the zimun, and they have to wait until everybody's ready to do the zimun.
Six can force four.
Majority. Right. Same halach. Now, this idea of not leaving, being stuck there, is certainly a little bit annoying. The Mishnah brings from the Bach that after all, they didn't end together. If they didn't end, maybe there's no chiyuv zimun. So we assume that the beginning of the meal together generates the chiyuv zimun. But there is a Bach who holds that you have to end, and in this case, they're not ending. I'm ending. These two people don't want to end. So for the Tzarech Karol, certainly have some mamon. The minhag is that we're makil to leave. So this happens sometimes. You go to achasana and wait till the end. It's very long. So one eitzah is to have kavanah to mitzarif. Another eitzah is just to say, listen, I have to go. I have to give a shir. So then I'm allowed to leave and just bench on my own. There, of course, is another option there. You can do a small zimun at your table. And we'll discuss that soon in more depth. If a person answered to the zimun and didn't bench, and then two more people come, so now and he kept on eating with them, so he can do a zimun again. As we discussed this previously, I misunderstood what the Mechaber said earlier in Simen Kuf Sadi Gimel, right towards the end of Kuf Sadi Gimel. There's a discussion of three different chaburos, and the people came from them. Can they? We say parach zimun minayu. This concept of parach zimun minayu seems to be limited to specific cases, like kuf tzadi gimel hay. But in a standard case, if I answered the benching, two people wanted to leave, they benched. I answered to them, and then two more people came, and we ate together, so we could bench again. Do we have the opportunity to bench again? I don't think of chiyuv to bench again because I already did bench, but it could be mitzarif to them. That's just to clarify that point. Right? If there were five that ate and three were mezamin, and one of those three continued eating. So now you can't do a zimun here. In this case, there were five people eating. Three decided to do a zimun. Two didn't want to answer. Out of those three that did a zimun, only two benched. So now there are three people left. One who did a zimun, and two who didn't answer. In that case, we'd say parak zimun minayu. Right? Because this chabura already has zimun. But if two more people come, then they can create a chiyuv zimun. So it seems like if you're part of the chabura that partially benched, so then we say parak zimun. But if there's a new chabura, two more new people, you can do a zimun b'shlosha. It's not entirely clear to me, this whole issue of when you say parach, when you don't say parach. But I think it's pashut that if you're on a chasana, I mentioned before, this happens a lot. So one guy wants to leave, two people want to leave, they do a zimun. You answer. You happen to stay. So you can answer to the zimun b'shem. You can certainly answer to the zimun b'shem. Whether or not you're giving something up and that you already were yotze the zimun, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe since you were already yotze the zimun shelo b'shem, you're kind of giving up, even though you stay to the later and you can answer. We don't say parach. Certainly, if it's b'shem, maybe you're giving something up. But I don't know. It's derech eretz. People want to leave, so you answer to their magic. But okay. Certainly, those people who left gave up zimun b'shem, but they did it because they had a tzarach gadol. They needed to go home. You know, their wife needed them. Whatever. Some people don't wash when they go to chasanas if they don't not planning on staying. You know, it's hard to stay to the end of a chasana. I know people who b'shita don't wash. They'll come, they'll eat something, you know, they won't wash because they're concerned with this issue of zimun. Like I said, the other reason is not to mitzaref, which, you know, Rav Moshe says you can do chasat chak. Another issue is other option is to a small zimun. To do a zimun b'shem at the chasana, strictly speaking, that would be the best because you do have zimun b'shem. The problem is, it can make the Baal Bais upset. You know, you're ending by being chasana. So it depends on what the situation is. You know, often it's not recommended. If you could get away with it, so then that would be you know ideal. But okay. It's usually not so practical. Veseder. Moving on to Sif Beis. Einot tzarich lahafzik ela atchiyom baruch shachal mishlo. So what is the zimun? How long do you have to listen for? If I want to answer to two who want to leave, they're going to bench. I'm going to answer. When can I continue eating? When can I start talking? So the Mechaber says, just the beginning part. The Rama says the Birchas HaZimun includes the first bracha of benching. That's why when Ashkenazim bench, they should say the whole first bracha aloud. The Bezamen should say the whole first bracha aloud because that's really the Birchas HaZimun. So if a person then continues eating, when he wants to bench, he has to say the whole benching, even though he listened till Hazan at the call. He didn't have intention to be Yotze. So if you answer to benching, you have to bench after. It's not like you know, are potter for benching. The same is true if, let's say, you're a mitzaref, person ayed mizonos, and a mitzaref tu v'loi bre. So they bench. I said I made Tazana to call. Then I have to say Alamichia. I'm not Yotze through there. Okay. The Seder. If I really wanted to bench, and then last second I changed my mind, so if I had real Gemira Stas, I wanted to bench, then I changed my mind, I would have to wash again, and, you know, say a Motzi again, because, you know, I had real Hesach Adas from the meal. But that's rare. Usually people either say they're going to answer, they're not intending to bench, or they bench. It's rare that a person says, oh, I'm going to bench, and then he changes his mind, then he would have to wash again and say another amotzi, because that's considered hesech hadas. Okay. So moving on to Zimun Reish Aleph. Miho Mavarech, Gadol Mavarech Afilu B'Sof. There's inin to give a Talmud Chacham, Chabad the Torah. So give the Talmud Chacham the opportunity to lead the benching. The God of the greatest person in learning. You're allowed to give the Baal Bais, you whoever wants to bench, but there's Indian to Mechabi the Talmud Chacham. or the Gadol himself can be mochel. The Gadol himself can be mochel and get let you know another person bench. Now this obviously is only when the Gadol is ready to bench. If the Gadol is still eating and two people want to leave, so they can bench even though the Gadol is he's not benched, he's not ready. The Mechaber then says, "V'hani mili k'she'en sham oreach, aval im yesham oreach hu mevarech afilu im balabayis gadol imenu k'dei sheyivarech balabayis." The concept of birchas oreach, special edition that we have in the benching, we have the harachaman yivarech balabayis, and there's also a more flowery edition which comes from the Gemara actually. It's a little bit more, you know, Sfarnim even have more, but like the, you know, there's a certain nusach that you yivarech balabayis, and it, in those days only the person who benched, who did the zimun, was saying the bracha. Today, everybody can say it, so it's really not so relevant anymore. But at one point, there was always an inyan the oreach shemivarech, because he's a mivarech to bar abayis. Here, even if the oreach is just answering, he'll mivarech to bar abayis. Uma bracha mivarech. What do you say? Yirasan shelo yevosh v'lo yikale im bar abayis. Azeh lo b'lo azeh v'lo l'ba. Yisil chon chasav yunu chasav muslachim chom leir. V'lo yishlot tzotan mas yod v'lo yistaki l'fanav shun darhir chait Avon me'av tavi olam. So that's the nusach of the bracha. V'malabai suetzel levater al birkasam avarech birkasam vazav asmar shai. He's allowed to let anybody give the bracha, lead the benching. If he wants to lead the benching himself and levater on the bracha, he can. V'hu adin sheyachol litein levarech lemi sheyirze. He can, like I said, let anybody bench, regardless of you know who he is. Obviously, there's any to give a kohen. It could be a mitzvah in the Torah, a kiddushah. So often we give a kohen, the opportunity to bench. But the Balabai, strictly speaking, he can give anybody the ability to bench to lead the bench. This idea of benching the Balabai seems like as a halacha. You're supposed to give a bracha to the Balabai. Question is, when is do you have a Balabai? You're meeting in the yeshiva, so the people give money to the yeshiva. So I have to say, give a bracha to all the donors. It could be it's only when it's like more direct, meaning people give money to the yeshiva in a more general, they're not buying your food, they're giving money to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva decides to buy lunch. You know, so I'm not sure exactly, cautiously, you don't have a chiv in that case. But if you have you're sitting at somebody's table, he's a balabais, so then it's appropriate to give a bracha to the balabais. Okay, chora. If you just say the nusach that's found in the harachaman, it's sufficient. You don't have to say this nusach of the gemara that's found here in the Shulchan Aruch. But there are those who are makbid to say this nusach. Like I said, the Sfarim have it even more flowerly.
Isn't that actual zimun?
Uh huh.
Do you have to say the shus balabais hazeh?
I mean, he gave you permission to bench, so you don't.
It's like
he told you to bench. It's derech eretz. You know, people sometimes add b'shus balas habayi. You say people add, my great uncle. Right. It makes people feel good. You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with making you feel good. I think it's good to make people feel good, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, if, for example, let's say, you know, the balabais gives a b'shus tells a Yisrael to bench. Does he have to say b'shus a kohanim? Meaning he was given by the balabai, so I don't know if he necessarily has to, but they didn't even ask the kohen. It wasn't b'shus a kohen. The kohen is upset about it, but it's not his right to, you know. So I think it's always nice to include people. It makes me feel good. I don't think there's any halachic issue with mentioning something.
Like
I don't think it's a hefsik issue, no. Okay. Well, Ya'aktim Chacham Yisrael the Kohen, Am Aretz, Levarech Lefana, of Derech Chok. You shouldn't say, oh, he's a Kohen. The guy's an Am Aretz. So you shouldn't always give the Kohen if he's an Am Aretz. Aval Lassis Lechacham Rishus Levarech, Ein Vechach Klum. If the Chacham wants to let the Kohen bench, that's okay, but he shouldn't be. We're concerned about the Bezayin to cover the Torah. We don't want a situation where, you know, Kahuna trumps Torah. Even though Taka, there is a mitzvah of Kiddushta, so it's interesting. If the Kohen is a Talmud Chacham, that's it's great. He's also a Talmud Chacham, also a Kohen. But to give a Kohen on the Aretz, wouldn't be appropriate. They're a Chok. Mishmur actually says this idea of Kiddushta applies to other areas as well. It's not just who gets the first Aliyah who gets benches, but it's who's going to get to Darshan first. It seems like it's a broader halacha. It's not so noheg. There are different limitations, why people don't follow this, but it could be only Devar Shebekedusha, but still even Devar Shebekedusha is more expensive. It's a little mana yafa barosh. What does that mean? I mean, it's just to get the first soup, the first chicken, or is it only if it's like a mitzvah? Either way, similarly, the minhag I think is not to be so makvid with gidashto, except for at benching, people do try to give the kohen in shul. He's not even allowed to mochel in benching. He can mochel. That's to avoid machlokes. Aliyahs are a big deal. People are going to start fighting. So give the kohen first. No one's going to fight who's first. There's a discussion if you mock him a Levi. Let's say there's no Kohen. Should I give a Levi? So there are poskim who hold you should give a Levi. Kadima. It's true that by Kriyas HaTorah we say Nisparda Chavila. If there's no Kohen, you don't give a Levi the first Aliyah. But it could be here there is an Indian to be Makhtim Aliyah. The Vinish Kais is not, but I think there are poskim who hold you should.
Who gets the Aliyah if there's no Kohen?
Yisrael. Yeah. The Shmuel brings down to Yonakim Alevi. I think the meaning is actually, if you aren't so careful with this, but I know that there are, it's a machlokas about this issue. But you are Yonakim Alevi for benching. The Shmuel brings down a meaning to Yonakim an Avil, to discuss for the neshama of the nifter. If a person's father died, you can give the Avil to bench. I'm not sure if we're knowing that way. I haven't seen that so much. Okay. Veseder. Gimel. Mi shenostim lo levarech einu mevarech mikatsiv yomav. Wow. So if you have a chance to bench and you refuse, your lifespan is shortened. It comes from the Gemara. Mi shenostim lo kos. The lashon of the Gemara is kos. Some want to say it's only true if it's a kos. I don't know. The fashion is it's opportunity to give a bracha to the balabai. So if you're passing up the opportunity, so it's not good. The thing is, today we all give a bracha. It's not only the Mavarach gives a bracha. Because the Mavarach, Baruch, Arecha, Ar, so if you don't give a bracha, it's like, but here everybody can give a bracha. Even though I'm not benching, I'm not leaving the benching, I still have a bracha to the Baal Bais. So it's an Indian to give a bracha to the Baal Bais. It's not an Indian, by not saying you don't, they're saying you don't want to bench, it's not like you don't want to give a bracha to the Baal Bais. You just don't want to, you're nervous, whatever, you have a hard time projecting your voice. So there's no chiyuv to bench. Although, every time you ask, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to turn down a kibbutz? Sometimes it's perceived as gaiva, Right. I'm not, I don't deserve this. It's just benching, they're not giving you after Yonah. Mm-hmm. So ask you to bench, so you bench. I don't like drinking wine. Sometimes they ask me to bench, at a bris or something, and I have this 12% wine, and I have a stomachache, a little naive. But, if there's a legitimate reason you're allowed to, but if there's no legitimate reason, it's probably nice to do that. Okay. Dalit. Tzarek laksa was yitim lakos shal brach levarech is in it to try to get the opportunity to lachsa, shiitin lakos, try to ask for it. To be motzi other people. Again, today we don't, there's a concept like you're the chazin, you're being motzi everybody. Here, you're not motzi anybody, you just say that the zimun. So I'm not sure if it's the same as it used to be. And Mishabura and the Shar Tzion says, everybody's benching on their own. So Mela, it's not so clear if this is such an Indian anymore. Maybe still the fact that you are causing to start the zimun, that itself is a maila. So it could be there is an Indian to try to bench, even Zanaz, to lead the benching. Veseder. Let's move on to Simen Reish Beis. We're going to begin this Hilchos Pirkos HaPeiros. A lot of details here. I'll call Peros Ilun Varech B'Tchila. So we know Chachamim were Misakin Bracha Rishona before we eat. There's a Shiloh why they're Misakin. In the Torah, you only bench after you eat. You don't have to bench before you eat. You don't say Bracha before you eat. But Chazal were Mitakin. The Gemara speaks about Asur Adam Lehenos below Bracha. So it's like a Matir. And others say that no, it's not a Matir. From the beginning of the Sugi there, it sounds like it's more of like Shevach. Just like there's Shevach after you eat, there's Shevach before you eat. You have to say thank you. You say thank you after, you say thank you before. So whether or not it's a waving mat to the food or saying thank you for the food is a chakira. Lemaisa, there are specific brachas made. Shahakal is the catch-all, but Chazal wanted the brachas to be specific, so fruit you say Eitz, and on a vegetable you say Adama, v'chule. Now, when discussing the difference between a fruit and a vegetable, the question of what defines a tree is an important question, because on a vegetable you say Adama, so a carrot is a vegetable, an apple is a fruit, but there are things that are in between. So you have these bushes. So it's a bush, a raspberry bush. Is it a fruit or is it a vegetable? So the principle, this is an area, this affects not only Hilchos Brachot, it also affects Hilchos Orla. Meaning, you know, is there Orla on a raspberry bush? You have to wait 3 years until you're able to, after 3 years, you can enjoy from right away. Strawberries, papaya, all these things are quite cranberries. So it seems like the upshot is that if the bush grows very low to the ground, like strawberries, so we consider it to be Adama. If it's a big bush, then it has to also live from year to year. So a banana tree is very tall, but it dies. So it's not enough that it's tall, it has to be tall and it has to live, and only then do we consider it to be a tree. Still, you know, not entirely clear. There are certain sfeikos, papaya is a big sfeik. And sometimes we're machmir for orla, you know, the rabbanut, the regular rabbanut, I think, holds papaya as a vegetable, and they'll give a hechsher, even though the papaya tree doesn't live so long. So it's orla for like the first 3 years, and then it only lives 4 years. It's a small season. You know what I'm saying? So the Mahadrian hashkachas get papaya from chutzaris, because safik chutzar orla and chutzaris is mutter. So you don't ask. You don't know if it's in the fourth year, from the third year, the second year. That's okay. That's the halacha. Halacha Mishmasina is that Safik Orla and Chutzar is Mutter. But in Eretz Yisrael, maybe you have to start looking, asking, is this from the first year or the fourth year? So the Rabbanut, the regular Rabbanut, holds that it's a vegetable, it's not an issue of Orla. The Mahadrin is choshish that maybe it's a tree. Now, even if you hold it, since it's a Safik, if you say Adama, it's always better to say Adama than Eitz. Why? Because if you say Adama on an apple, you're Yotze. Why? Because the apple comes from the tree, which comes from the ground. But if you said ha'etz on a carrot, it's meaningless, because a carrot has nothing to do with the tree. So if we have a question of the bracha of papaya, so we would say adama, even if we're going to be choshish for orla, because we want to, you know, play it safe, if you will. So this issue exists when it comes to, like I said, you know, I think cranberries we say adama, strawberries say adama, papaya, raspberries, we say Adama, but then we're more machmir, we're worried maybe it really is Orla, you know, again, the Mahadrim HaShkachat Machmir. There seems to be a big discussion about this. Bananas, we say Adama, right? So what's the shaila with raspberries? It's a high tree, and they don't die, so why is it a shaila? I think there's a shaila about it, but it's not really a tree, it's more like a bush, so maybe that itself is, it could be not enough. If it's, you know, the banana tree is a tree, it's not much tree, it just dies. The raspberry bush is just a bush, so mamela, we say Adama Misafi. Okay. Peseder, so that's just Hakdama. Let's read the Mechaber. I'll call Peres the Ilan Mevarech with Chila Borei Pre'etz. So eat an apple, you say Borei Pre'etz. Chutz miyayin, Shemevarech Alav Borei Pre'egefen. It's a very strange language. It's from the Mishnah in Brachos, but you'd think we're not comparing, you know, are we comparing apples and oranges? We're comparing fruits and liquids. On all fruits, you say I ate, except for the wine, which isn't a fruit. So it's a little bit strange. But anyway, on wine, the regular fruit juice is ishahakal. Regular fruit juice is considered zeba alma, orange juice, apple juice. But on grape juice, then you say hagefen, special chashivos. Vein vushel, vein chai, vein shu asui, konditon, tahayim shenosnim bo dvashu pilpulin, if you add, you know, sugar to the wine. The Rama adds on that if you mix your wine with beer, so it's a function of what's the ikar v'tafel. If the mostly wine, say gefen. Mostly beer, you say shahakel. This is actually interesting because there is a discussion of adding water to wine, and then we pass that even if it's 1/6 wine, it's still wine. As far as holds, you need more, but it seems like this might be different than that, because here it's not just watering it down, it's another ingredient. So ikar v'tafel, so you go based on rov, and if it's mostly wine, it's a gefen, and mostly sheikhar, you say shahakal. Now, like I said, there's a special bracha on wine because it's a special beverage. It's soed, it's mesameach. There is a, if you set a eitz with the evidir yotze, because it does come from the tree, it's a suffix, but since it's a suffix, we say suffix because of lagel. And the Mechaber says, like I read, that you say hagefen on all types of wine, grape juice, wine, mevushel, additives. That's really a whole debate. There's a whole machlokas. Is mevushel wine, good for kiddush? Is it even hagefen? Well, the Maisa, we hold all wine is hagefen. The only question is whether or not. You'd say hagefen in a circumstance when the wine is, let's say, frozen. If you have an ice pop, so there's a shaila about that. Maybe that would be shahakol. Likewise, if it's like wine from concentrate, adding water is one thing. But if it's not from concentrate, so some Sfarim postum say it's from concentrate, you say shahakol. Don't make kiddush on it. Most of our wines are not from concentrate. I mean, they have grape juice. They have wine water added to it. Sometimes the cheaper grape juices here in Eretz Israel, they add water to it. So are some poskim say that you can add water to wine, but grape juice is not so strong. You add water to grape juice, it loses its shame. Grape juice. But the mice, I don't think that's the minhag. I think the minhag is we assume you can add a little bit of water to grape juice, and it retains its status. Okay. There's a question. Let's say you cut grapes. So at the bottom of the plate, you have some grape juice. So if you're eat the grapes and eat it with the juice, so then it's hey, it's pasha. But it's tafel to the grapes. But if you take the juice and you like take it in a cup and drink the juice separately, that lechora would be a geffen. It's grape juice. Now, let's say you take a grape and you just suck it, or you put it in your mouth, you chew it and spit out the grape. You just take the juice. That lechora would be ha'etz because you're not eating it. You never made juice from it. You just sucked it from it. So that would be ha'etz. But if you make juice, even if you don't put it in a press, but you just cut the grapes or you squash them, then that juice would be ha'gefen. Okay. Fine, weiter. Haboser, kol zman shaloi gia lekepula lovin. So the development of the fruit, we usually eat fruits that are ripe. Once upon a time, people were poor and they didn't have what to eat. So you have a fruit, it's not ripe, you'll eat it anyway. So what bracha do you say on an unripe fruit? Today, even when we buy fruits and they're not ripe, quote unquote, the Gemara hapri cap it, meaning it's just that it takes a day or two to get soft. It's more geschmack when it's soft. But even if you eat when it's hard, it's still a fruit. It's a completed fruit. We're talking about when you pick a fruit off the tree at the earlier stages of development because you have nothing else to eat, so you want to eat boser. So what bracha do you say then? So the three stages: haboser kol zman shaloi gia lepul halavan mevarech alav vorei pri adama. If it's small, it hasn't reached the size of a pul halavan, so then you say adama. And then shigia pul halavan mevarech vorei. It only comes a fruit when it's fully formed. So you eat a fruit before it's fully formed, say adama. We don't know exactly what the shir is. Until the fruit is fully ripe, we don't say I ate because we're not sure if it's really ripe. Now, again, like I said, all the fruits we buy in the store are fully. Even though sometimes you buy grapes, you buy like a cluster of grapes, at least some smaller grapes. But even though smaller grapes are not. The fact that the grapevine was ripe and they cut it proves that those are just smaller grapes. It's not that it's a grape that is going to be grow bigger if it would stay longer on the tree. So all of our grapes are ha'etz. If you're in a field and you're picking grapes before, it's, I don't know, in Eretz Yisrael, the grapes are usually ripe at the end of July, August. If you're in June and you're picking grapes in June, so then, maybe taka, this halacha would apply that you say adama because it's boser. Shakol ilan, mishayotze pri mevarchin alav vore pri. So the Mechaber says this is a special halacha by grapes, that there is adama, middle stage. But the other fruits, as soon as they begin, they're already eitz. If they're too so small that they're really gross, then you'd say, you know, you would say shahakal. You wouldn't say brach at all, really, because you have no hana. If it's, you know, but there's a shaila about this. Is this really true? Maybe all fruits have these three stages, that there's a dhamma stage in the middle. Like I said, it's also negel lemaisa. We don't usually eat fruits unless they're fully ripe. Just a second. The Rama says, "Vish omid al charuvin inu mevarach berpi ha'etz ad shiyure behen kemin shar sharosh al charuvin v'chim zeitzim ad shiyikar al ha'netz v'ivam kardachim varach berpi ha'dama v'chin ikar." Like I said, some hold that there are three stages by other fruits as well, not only by grapes. The Mechaber says if you eat the fruit when it's really unripe, it's really bitter, you don't say bracha at all. The Mishabura says you would say shahakal. If you're eating it, it's like it's enough. It's not much not food, you say you don't say bracha. But if it's something that people can eat when they're really hungry, you know, so then you'd say shahakal because you get some hana from it. So really theoretically, you can have a situation where there's no bracha, you eat when it's mamish bitter. Shahakal when it's edible, the koshi, you get some hana. Adama, according to the Rama, when it reaches, you know, a bigger stage, but it's not fully developed. And then ha'etz when it's fully developed. Most of us only eat fruits when they're fully developed. So you say ha'etz. If you take a fruit that's edible, but it's just aldeit chak, you say shahakal on it. But then you like, you know, roast it and you put sugar on it and you make it more edible, so then you'd say eight, because it already is a pre, it just wasn't fully formed. That's a contrast to, let's say, taking, you know, things that aren't, you take the tree and you cook the tree with the sugar, you're not going to say eight on it because it's not a pre. We'll talk about, you know, klipot later. If you take, you know, the skin, the orange peels, yeah, and the like. There is a discussion about people who eat little tomatoes or little eggplants. They sell these green tomatoes. They put them in vinegar and they make them like pickles. They pickle them. Right. So you have a tomato, it's not really fully developed, and you pickle it. So what bracha is that? Is that a dhamma? The bracha on tomatoes is a shayla, because tomatoes grow on a vine. So there is a shayla, should you say eitz? Lamaisa, we don't. So I think it dies every year, right? Yeah. So that's what we assume, that since it dies every year, so we say eitz. So the question is, if you take the tomatoes that are really unripe, these tiny little green tomatoes, and you pickle them, would you say shahakal on them, or would you say adam on them? I think people generally say adam on them. I think there's machlokas about this. Some people say that if they grew them for that, the mini eggplants, they grow for that purpose. So they go for that purpose, so then maybe it would be considered a gemar. And you say adama. I don't know if people eat these things anyway. Usually people don't eat like pickles by themselves. They usually eat it as course of a meal, so it's not even relevant. But hypothetically, if you want to take this tiny tomato, you know, that we've pickled, it didn't reach maturity, so to eat it on the tree, off the vine, so l'chara, at best you'd say shahakal, because, you know, if it's not right at all, so you wouldn't say bracha. If it's adeit chak, you say shahakal. But since you pickle it, and now it's really geshmak, so some poskim say that in this case you should say adama. Certainly that's what they had in mind when they grew it. Okay. The Seder. Fighter. Sif. Gimel. Garine peros. If you eat the seeds of the fruits, sometimes people eat the seeds. Seeds are, if they're sweet, you say it's part of the fruit. If it's bitter, you don't say brach at all. Or if you, you know, roast them, you put a little salt on them, then you say shahakal. Mishra points out that even though the Mechaber says you say eight on seeds, we don't hold that way. We hold you say adam on seeds. And some say shahakal on seeds. Even the Sfaradim don't follow this. I think most Sfaradim say shahakal on seeds. So it depends. I mean, well, usually the seeds we buy are grown for that purpose. You buy sunflower seeds, so then you certainly say Adama, because they're grown for that purpose. If a person takes, watermelon that he has at home and he was planning on eating it, he takes out the seeds and he wants to eat them, so then you say Shahakal, because these seeds weren't, harvested for this purpose. But they sell, I don't know, I'm not a big, see, like the Israelis are anti eating garinim, so if people are into this, they sell them in the shuk. So they sell them for this purpose, so then that brachas adama, because that's what they're, designated for. Okay. If you eat sesame seeds, right? People have, they sell these like healthy snacks, like sesame seeds and like honey, natural snacks. So you say adama, because sesame seeds are adama; they were grown for that purpose. Okay. And it's true you like the honey, but you're not eating honey; you're eating a sesame snack. So ikra v'tafel, most of it is sesame. So therefore, you say adama. Shemen zayis. This doesn't happen so much. People generally don't drink olive oil, I think. You usually put olive oil on like salad, but you don't drink it as olive oil. It's mazik you to drink olive oil, so you don't say a bracha on it. If you eat it with bread, so the bracha on the bread, paters it. The pat ikr. Ikr, excuse me, poter esat fel. That's a general principle because brachas. We'll get back to the concept of ikr and tafel. V'im shesov urav. You may silka, hanikra, and nigrod. If you have some type of concoction that has also oil and also something else in it, which is now healthy, it's not just like drinking pure olive oil. Adarav, it's not moil, it's very healthy for your throat. Imhu choshish begron, if you're doing it for refua purposes, havelei shemen ikra, varechala varepri eitz. If you're doing it for refua purposes, so the shemen's the ikra, therefore you say I ate. So this actual case is less common today, but the principles are important. Shemen zayis is unique in that most liquids that come from fruits are zeba alma, except for wine, right? Grape juice. Wine, grape juice, and olive oil. Olive oil also it retains, it doesn't have a special bracha like wine, but it retains the bracha of the olive. So just like an olive say eight, so too on the olive oil say eight. But it's only if you're drinking it in a way that you're going to enjoy it. So if you drink it plain, it doesn't taste very good. So you don't say bracha, it doesn't taste good at all. You don't get any hana from it. If you're drinking it for medicinal purposes, so then you want the medicine, and you're drinking it with something to make it taste good. The medicine tastes good. You say a bracha, then you say eitz. If you're drinking it because it's smooth, or whatever, it adds to your drink, but you really didn't drink the drink, and this is just it's tafel, so then you don't say a bracha on it. You say the shakal on the drink, and the olive oil is there because it, adds to the texture or whatever, even the taste. But it's not the ikr. It's just an added ingredient to the drink, and then you'd say shahakal. Okay? Now, the Mishabur here makes an important point. He speaks about Ikar and Tafel, and he says, Ikar and Tafel isn't always a function of what's more. It could be I'm drinking this drink for medicinal purposes. It's 45% olive oil and 65% mesilka. But I'm drinking it because of the olive oil. And therefore, what bracha do I make? Ha'etz. Because ikra and tafel, if you want both items, so then you'd say usually the rov is the koveya. But it's not a fundamental rule that rov is koveya. It seems that it's more a function of rov usually tells you what you want more of. Right? Or if you don't want, if you want both, then rov is koveya. But here, if I really want the olive oil because I have a sore throat, it's just that it's hard to drink olive oil plain, so I put in 65% of water and sugar. But what am I drinking here? I'm drinking olive oil, and that water and sugar is to make it go down easily. And therefore, I say I ate in this circumstance. So it's just interesting in terms of Ikar v'Tafel. In terms of medicines, Bichlal, there's a discussion, we'll see later, but it's not so pashut. Even if medicines taste good, you know, in our day and age, usually people don't drink regular ingredients they find from the pantry. Usually it's like a medicine, so it's cough syrup. So nobody's going to drink cough syrup. So it's true they put in sugar to make it sweet, but Shlomo Zalman says that that's not like this case here. That's medicine. So it happens to be they make it go down, they put some sugar. But it's not really a raya for a bracha, and therefore you wouldn't say a bracha at all. From Shlomo Zalman, others argue, but we'll see that in Hashem later. Okay. Hey. As you mentioned, the Mechaber here says that you don't say a bracha on davar mazik. It came up a few times. It's mazik you. So there is a discussion about drinking alcohol. You know, if you really hate alcohol, you hate schnapps, you hate whiskey, but you're at a l'chaim, you know, it's your occasion party, so your father-in-law pours you a cup of shot glass, so I can't say no. So should you say a bracha? So if you enjoy it, you just don't drink it usually for social reasons, you're drinking it, so of course you say a bracha. But let's say you mamish hate it. So if you mamish hate it, the fashtus is that it's mazik you. And once it's mazik you, so you shouldn't say bracha at all. I don't know what your father is going to think. The boy doesn't say bracha. I don't know. Okay. Seder. Hey. Shkedim hamorim shem ketanim varach bori priyada eitz kedolim v'lo klums. Usually most fruits, when they become ripe, it's at the end of the process. There are some types of almonds that they're edible at the beginning, and then when they grow bigger, they're already not edible. So shkedim amarim, when they're small, you could take eat them, and then you say aitz. But once they're bigger, lo klum, zazuki mazik, again they're mazik, you don't say brach. V'tayim in the middle, k'shem k'tanim ikr achilasam hi aklipa v'ina mara. K'shem k'dolim ikr k'chasam asher v'fnim v'hu mar. If you take the bitter almond and you put sugar on it, and now it's edible, now you'd say eitz, because it really is a fruit, it's just bitter. You have to be careful. Some almonds actually are poisonous. Some of the bitter almonds have like small amounts of cyanide in them. So Kashmarko made them bitter, so people will eat them. So if you take them and put sugar on them, you know, it might not be so healthy. But okay, you have to figure out which. It's amazing how Kashmarko created the bria, that things that taste bad sometimes are, you know, dangerous. Fine. Now, in terms of the klipa, I mentioned here the klipa. You eat the klipa. So you have an orange peel. So the Mishnah brings down a machlokes. What probably say orange peel? It's probably better to say shakal. But the evidence, if you say adama or eight, you're yotzei. But the evidence, if you say shakal and orange peels. I saw that they say by an esrog, since it's really only grown to be eaten as riba, as jam, so maybe you would say eitz if you make a jam out of the esrogim. I was told that it's really not healthy because they put in so much pesticides, they want to keep the esrogim clean. And even regular fruits, there's a lot of pesticides, so if you want to make jam from the peels, you should use organic produce, but okay. Anyway, sometimes the peel is mamish the fruit. If you eat an apple peel, so you say eitz, because people eat the peel. If you eat a peel of a carrot, so then you say adama, because it's, but a peel that's, you know, a thick peel, it's not normally eaten, so it's best to say shahakal on it. If you said eitz or adama, you'd be yotze, you know, if it's an apple, if it's a fruit. Okay. Vav, salaf. Salaf is a caper bush. We have them growing outside the yeshiva. Little Dabra bushes. Harif, right? I don't know if it's davar harif. It's there's all sugya. It grows in like between like the sidewalks. It's like some of the little nooks and crannies. They just sprout up. It's like a white flower, like a white flower with like a little red in it. Anyway, so this is an interesting type of fruit. Perish slaf min ilan sha'alav shalo ru'in lachila, because you also not only eat the fruit, the capers, you also eat, again, you could eat the leaves. Vesh Ba'olov Kamin Tmarim, Vyonos, who Priya Matzlaf, the Kafrizin Hin Klipa Shasiva Priv, Klipa Zagozin. Vala Olim Atmaros, Vala Kafrizin Boripriadama, Vala Vyonos, Shem Ikara Pri, Boripriates. So on the actual fruit you say I ate, and if you eat the covering, the klipa or the leaves, you'd say adama. They generally sell capers that are pickled. So those are adama, because those are not the actual fruit. It's usually the buds. They take the buds and they pickle them. The assumption is that they, you know, planted them for that purpose. That's why you would say adama on the... And again, it depends on the area where you live. In Greece, people eat these things all the time. You know, some places, you go to America, people don't eat them so much. So there, maybe it would be shahakal. Nobody eats it. It would probably be shahakal. But here, if you eat it, it would be adama. The fruit, regardless, would be hayit. The question of how you look at the leaves, you know, are the leaves really edible in your locale? L'chora, it's a din in the place where you live. Okay. Tamarim, shemiyachon v'yayv. Also, we have isa. You take dates and you mash them. You mash the dates, and you made a isa out of it. V'hotzi mena garinin. Afilu hakin lo yishtani b'chasam v'varach alayim borei priya eitz v'sof v'varach alayim shalosh. So the mechaber tells us if you mash a fruit, it still retains its bracha. The Ramah brings those who argue. Lefi zeh hu adin be La vetrin hanikra palvida shavarchin varpiyaitz. The same thing on a type of, riba. What's riba? A jam. And it's not exactly the same. Jam is cooked. The Machaber spoke about mashing a date. If you make date jam, you usually have additives and you cook it. It's not exactly the same. But the Rama says that he thinks it would be the same halacha. And then he says, V'yishomi l'varach shakal. Some say that since it's not really nikkur that it's a date anymore, it's not really nikkur that this jam, what it's from, so you say shakal. V'tov lochosh l'chatchil l'varach shakal. Rama recommends saying shakal. Aval imbirach barpia eitz, t'yotza kikein yir ikr. So the Rama says that it sounds like mikra din really it is a eitz. But the minhag is l'chatchil to say shakal. Shakal is a more kolius bracha. You cover your bases by saying shakal. So there's a shaila if the Ramah is arguing on the Mechaber also, or only on the case that he just mentioned of the jam. Is it the jam is a shakal, or even on dates that are mashed? What bracha do you make on mashed potatoes? What bracha do you make on mashed bananas? What bracha do you make on applesauce? So it seems that first Sfardim, if you take a date and you mash it, even though it's not... Nicker, you'd still say eitz. Ashkenazim would tell you that in that case, say shahakol. The problem is, what's the bracha achrona? Because it's from the Shivas Aminim. So, do you say, if it's shahakol, you say barei nefashos? So, we have a suffix here, what to do in this case. Mishmur recommends not eating mashed dates outside of a meal out of concern, that you're going to. You're not sure what the bracha achrona is. The bracha rishona, you say shakal, it's not a problem. You don't see for the eitz. You have to either way. The bracha achrona is a suffix. But this is a big discussion. Halacha lemaisa, how do you deal with mashed foods? So the principle that I think the working principle is that if it's nicker, sometimes you have a potato called it's grated. So you see the pieces of potato. You have applesauce, you have homemade applesauce. You see the apples, and you say, I ate. If it's industrial applesauce, it just looks like this white mush, white, yellowish mush. Then you say shahakal. Ashkenazi would say shahakal, and certainly if it's liquidy, even the Sfardim would say if it's liquidy. But it's a big, big discussion how to deal with, kugel, potato kugel that's went through a food processor. So the Pasha says, once it went through the food processor, it's shahakal. Because it's not recognizable. Rosh Hashanah is a big chiddush. He says that if people recognize it as potatoes, even though it was totally pulverized, so then you'd say adama. But that's a big chiddush. Most of us say shahakal and Pringles, because Pringles are made out of potato starch or Telma cornflakes. The cornflakes that they get from England here, Those are real cornflakes. They take a corn and they smash them. So then, like a piece of popcorn. Piece of popcorn, that's still a Dhamma. And that would be different. Anyway, there are a lot of details here of exactly what changes, what makes it lose its shame pre. But I think the upshot is that if it's recognizable, it's AIDS. If it's not, it's shahakal. And then what makes it recognizable? Meaning you have the seeds of the strawberries. So that's not enough to make it recognizable. It just looks like jam. It happens to be, I see seeds, so I know there were strawberries, but that's not recognizable as a, if there are pieces of strawberries, so then it would be a Dhamma. So most, kugels would be shahakal. Usually the kugels, again, if they make, depends how you make them, but if you make them with a food processor, so then it'd be shahakal. There are people who say you say shahadam on kugels, but I think the Pashas would say shahakal. What about like fruit roll-up, same to there. I think l'chora should be shahakal. Corn chips are made out of corn flour. Chocolate, what's a bracha on chocolate? So here they made it for that purpose, they grew it for that purpose, so it's not so pashut, but we say shakalim chocolate. I'm saying it's not so obvious, because it could be that this principle that when it loses its shame, it's only if you took a food that usually is eaten whole, and you happen to people eat whole potatoes, and you decided to pulverize it. People eat whole apples, you pulverized it. But if it's something you grow in order to, the derech ha'achila is to first grind it, so l'chora should retain its bracha. Like ginger, if you take ground ginger and put it with sugar, so you'd say hadama if it's mostly ginger. But that was passions for chocolate. The ma'aseh that we say shahakal on chocolate. Okay, there are a lot of details here. Let's.